morning. I'm Kathleen Shea on behalf of the appellant James Turner. I'd ask if I could reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you. At Mr. Turner's trial, the state failed to present sufficient evidence to show Mr. Turner, one, suffered from a mental abnormality, two, committed a recent overt act, and three, was more likely than not to reoffend. Turning first to the state's failure to present sufficient evidence as to the mental or abnormality, due process requires that an individual be shown to be both mentally ill and dangerous, presently dangerous, before he can be committed indefinitely. Specifically, the state must prove, in part, that the respondent suffers from a mental abnormality or personality disorder. Here, the state's expert, Dr. Judd, testified that for purposes of his analysis, the mental abnormality he believed Mr. Turner suffered from was pedophilia and pedophilia alone. He made that clear. He also agreed that under the DSM, a diagnosis of pedophilia required a showing that the individual had acted on his sexual urges involving a prepubescent child and that the individual was at least 16 years old at the time of those acts. To satisfy this requirement, Dr. Judd...
what? How old?
16 years old. So that becomes relevant because there is this analysis by Dr. Judd of both the 13-year-old, SP, and Mr. Turner's half-sister, SH.
And he wasn't 16 at the time he molested his sister.
So the issue is that, yes, when talking about the molestation of SH, the evidence at trial showed that repeatedly SH was referred to as 6 years old. And then a discussion was had at the RP 1126 where the police statement that Mr. Turner put together, in that statement he talks about the fact, again, that she was 6 to 8 years old. And defense counsel goes over the fact with Dr. Judd that at that time, Mr. Turner would have been 14 to 16. So any period of time that Mr. Turner would have been 16 would have been then only a couple months. The contact was initiated with SH years before.
So the question becomes, are those numbers absolutes? Just like the reference to prepubescent, is it an absolute or is it enough to be appear to be prepubescent?
So in terms of SH, there is certainly in the record, I think that's the clearest indication, and I think what is important is this idea that if SH is 6, Mr. Turner must be 14. So that is just an absolute
fact. But then you get 6 to 8, so obviously then he
right.
must be then 16.
Then he's hitting 16, right.
And but even as, one triggering act, even if it's an absolute rule about 16.
Yes. But we're talking about present dangerousness, and it is important that Dr. Judd repeatedly relied on SP. Dr. Judd spent a great deal of time talking about SP as his foundation for the mental abnormality and pedophilia. And the problem with that is, in that situation, there really is no gray zone.
You're perhaps not getting my question. I'm more interested in whether or not our case law or the statute has explicitly adopted age 16 or has explicitly adopted a prepubescence definition that would say it's absolutely the actual pubescent state of the victim as opposed to the person is or appears to be prepubescent.
Well,
because we're talking about attractions.
Right, except for the fact that Dr. Judd is testifying as the state's expert that he is basing his diagnosis of the mental abnormality on pedophilia. And then he is agreeing that this is how the DSM talks about pedophilia and that it is important that SP was prepubescent. And you watch him repeatedly try and hedge on this. Throughout his testimony, he tries to sort of suggest every which way he can that perhaps she might be prepubescent. But then ultimately, he must admit that that is simply not true. He ultimately has to admit that she was, quote, at some level of pubescence and when asked if there was, if he was saying that a menstruating teenager, which he agreed SP was, is prepubescent, he had to say no. So his conclusion, despite trying to work around this repeatedly, was ultimately that SP was not prepubescent.
How old was she at the time when he had gotten out of custody and was attempting to contact her on the internet? How old was she then?
Well, he was, that would have been, I believe, 3 years later. So she would have been 16. I believe that's correct. I mean, if we're talking about him getting released and we're talking about SP at 13, is when he has the contact with her, and he's 20.
Was she 13 at trial?
I mean, she was not. So unfortunately,
there's a lag time.
Well, the problem, of course, is that unfortunately, right. So I'm trying to think exactly when the trial. At the time of the act, SP was 13.
Yeah.
Yes.
What I'm wondering about is presumably this is part of the recent overt act situation that he tried to contact her on the internet. But what if she was 17 or 19 by then? Is that an evidence of?
Well, that
I mean,
that is not what Dr. Judd is relying on when he's talking about the recent overt act, however. I mean, when the state is talking about the recent overt act, Dr. Judd is very clear what he's relying on.
What's he relying on?
And when he talks about what he's relying on, he says it has to do with the exchange of text messages with T.A., who was 15 years old, and then Mr. Turner's history, the role play with consenting adults, his fantasies, seeking materials out, and his failure to comply with community supervision. That's what Dr. Judge says is the recent overt act, not an attempted contact with SP, who is unfortunately later.
So how did it come into evidence that he was trying to contact SP over the internet? What was it relevant to?
I'm not sure that had much relevance, except for the fact that there was an indication that Mr. Turner was seeking out to eventually be with SP, regardless of her age. So that evidence actually demonstrated that it was not the fact that SP was a minor, but that, in fact, Mr. Turner was very interested. He was in love with her and wanted to ultimately be with her when she was 18 years old.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Andrea Vitalich from the King County Prosecutor's Office on behalf of the respondent, State of Washington. We'd ask this court to affirm Mr. Turner's civil commitment, first of all, because the jury's verdict is supported by substantial evidence in the record, and secondly, because Dr. Judd's testimony regarding the static 99R is grounded in fact and was helpful to the jury.
Go ahead. Go right well, back.
Address what is the substantial evidence that supports the diagnosis?
Well, Your Honor, one of the many, well, the key disputed issue in this case was clearly whether or not Mr. Turner suffers from pedophilic disorder. Obviously, the state presented sufficient evidence that he did.
Well, what is
and the
that?
Defense attempted to counter that evidence with countervailing facts. Mr. Turner himself, when he talked to the Snohomish County detective about what had happened with his half-sister when she was clearly a prepubescent child, he stated that he abused her for about 2 years, and he reiterated this with Dr. Judd, that from the time he was 15 years old until the time he was 17 years old. So therefore, the fact that the charging period for the initial charge that he did not in point of fact, ultimately plead guilty to, because he only pleaded to communicating with a minor for immoral purposes for that case. The fact that the charging period was in a different time frame, I don't think is dispositive here. Mr. Turner said it occurred from the time he was 15 to the time he was 17.
Is that what Dr. Judd relied on?
Dr. Judd also relied on SH's statements in the record that the abuse actually occurred until Mr. Turner left the home, which was at age 18, and there was no dispute about his age when he was kicked out of his mother's home. He was 18. So Dr. Judd also relied on Mr. Turner's admission to him during his extensive interview of Mr. Turner that when he was speaking with Joanna Calderon on the phone for hours at a time, several nights a week, that he sometimes fantasized about Ms. Calderon playing the role of a 10-year-old.
But she was not prepubescent.
No, she herself was not, but they were engaging in fantasy role plays that always involved her being a younger individual. She testified that she would pretend to be 13 years old, but Mr. Turner told Dr. Judd that he sometimes fantasized that she was 10 years old. He also stated during his pretrial deposition that he liked to read stories on the internet involving girls as young as 8 or 9. Now, of course, at the very tail end of his two-day deposition, when his counsel had an opportunity to ask him about that, he walked back on that and said, well, when I found stories and realized that they involved girls that were that little, I would stop reading and move on to something else because that's not really what I'm into. So that was a disputed fact, but it's certainly evidence that the jury had, and they were able to weigh the credibility of that situation. In addition, Dr. Judd very clearly testified that he gave Mr. Turner the qualifier of pedophilic disorder non-exclusive type because he was certainly interested in girls who were 13 and older, and in fact sometimes interested in peer-aged girls as well. But that does not undercut or negate the fact that Mr. Turner, that there was certainly evidence in the record that Mr. Turner suffers from pedophilic disorder. So again, under the standard of review, that is certainly sufficient evidence for the jury to credit Dr. Judd's testimony. Dr. Judd was on the stand also for the better part of 3 days, and if his and I focused on his testimony in my brief because his testimony standing alone is sufficient to support the jury's verdict. But there was certainly ample other evidence in the record from many other witnesses that factually supported Dr. Judd's opinions. What Mr. Turner is really asking this court to do is to step into the role of the jury, reweigh all of the conflicting evidence, and credit it to Mr. Turner's side of the ledger. And as we know, that's not the standard of review on appeal.
Well, the concern for us is whether, for instance, 16 is a fixed line and whether prepubescence is a fact question or it's a perception question in terms of attraction. And I guess another question being, if he's diagnosed with pedophilia, must the overt acts used to trigger this prosecution relate to pedophilia and not to sexual contact or fascination with those pubescent or post-pubescent individuals?
Well, and we know that's not true because of, I believe it's the Anderson case, where the offender was actually having consensual sexual contact with other patients at Western State Hospital who were adults. And the expert in that case testified that those that her rationale for that being a recent overt act was that he was using those victims as a proxy for his preferred victims, and also because it was indicative of his ongoing offense pattern. And given his history, that did constitute a recent overt act because a reasonable person looking at that behavior would have concern that this could either that this could lead him down the path of another sexually violent offense. Similarly, here we have Mr. Turner contacting a young-looking 15-year-old girl on the bus, and very quickly and very enthusiastically pursuing a relationship with her, texting back and forth with her, things about giving her a massage, taking her out to lunch, does she have a boyfriend, does she like kittens, texting her a love poem, which is what ultimately got him caught outside his CCO's office. The sort of same obsessive, compulsive pursuit of an underage girl that is essentially the hallmark of Mr. Turner's prior behavior. And as Dr. Judd testified, given Mr. Turner's history, it really wouldn't have mattered if the girl on the bus was 15, 14, 13, or even 12. It was indicative of his offense pattern and the way that he goes about his pursuit of underage girls. In addition, Dr. Judd testified that if, for example, Mr. Turner had convinced the girl on the bus to go stay with him in a hotel, for example, that that would be kidnapped, too, with sexual motivation.
But that's so, all theoretical.
That's true.
I mean all we really have is the contact with SP.
The contact with SP.
Right. I mean, the abuse that happened earlier. Do we have anything else that supports pedophilia?
Well, again, the contact with SH, his ongoing fantasies. And I would argue that SP does support Dr. Judd's diagnosis, and he spent a great deal.
Okay, tell me about SP. I misspoke. I meant SH. So SP comes into this how?
Dr. Judd spent a lot of time explaining why SP still supports his diagnosis, even if, in technical terms, because she's begun menstruating, she's not prepubescent. He relied on SP's mother's description of her physically, which is that she had very little breast development at the time. I would also note that this is part of the problem with the DSM. Once you start having to shoehorn things into these absolute boxes, if the person is under 16, then it doesn't count. And if the person, the object of the sexual desire is menstruating, then that doesn't count. This is a continuum. And there was testimony in the record about pubescence being a continuum. And even though a person may have begun the early stages of adolescence and therefore no longer technically prepubescent, as Dr. Judd explained, as an expert in this field, he still relied on Mr. Turner's obsessive pursuit of SP and his contact with SP to support his diagnosis. Because, again, this is Mr. Turner's pattern of behavior.
But doesn't the diagnosis have to be recognized in the field, and doesn't the DSM articulate what the recognized diagnoses are?
That's true. And again, I think Dr. Judd did a good job of explaining exactly why, even though SP was technically not prepubescent at the time, her physical attributes, as described by her own mother, and of course, unfortunately, SP was deceased by the time of this trial, supported his diagnosis, because obviously Mr. Turner viewing her would have seen her external physical attributes and not known clearly whether she was menstruating or not. And his pursuit of her supports his diagnosis as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. In response, I would ask the court to look at the record. The state is making this claim that Dr. Judd explained that despite the fact that SP did not meet this criteria, he felt that it still allowed him to make this diagnosis of pedophilia. And I would submit to the court that the record just does not present that information. Dr. Judd is very clear over and over that he is trying to say the reason SP supports a pedophilia diagnosis is because she is prepubescent. And ultimately, he has to conclude that is not the case. And he does say that over and over, even as early as RP 899-900, when he's talking about the menstruation, you can read him stop himself where he says, well, because onset of menstruation can occur at various times during, and he doesn't want to say puberty, so he says developmentally, and then a couple sentences later can't stop it and then has to admit the onset can occur any time during puberty. And later admits that, of course, she is going through puberty. She has breast development and menstruation. And that is clear from the record. I do not think he presents evidence that suggests that SP can support a diagnosis of pedophilia.
So it was only SH?
SH would be the only one, yes.
And is that enough?
I do not think that is enough.
Why not?
The reason that it is not sufficient is because Dr. Judd himself on the record is saying it is not sufficient. Dr. Judd did not make the claim that SH alone was sufficient for this diagnosis. He indicated it is part of the reason that Dr. Judd spent so much time during this trial trying to say that, in fact, SP was prepubescent. And he also indicates when he ultimately has to move away from that and says, well, it's just one data point, mm-hmm. that is when he starts talking about the fact, well, we can also rely on, you know, fantasies and his seeking out of materials. The problem with that is when he tries to pivot and rely on that information instead, there's no evidence presented by the state that talks about how his fantasies or urges are causing marked distress. So once we're moving away from has he committed acts that satisfy pedophilia under the DSM, we're moving into fantasies, but there's no discussion about how that's actually impacting Mr.
Well, there was the text message. Is Dr. Judd, as I understand it, he's relying on the text messages to T.A.?
For the recent overt act. I mean, then we're talking about the recent overt act, not mental abnormality. T.A. is 15 years old, and the record is clear that Mr. Turner knew she was 15 years old. If you look at Exhibit 69, page 124, Mr. Turner testifies that, and that is not disputed. Thank you. Yes, for reversal.
Next up is detention of